And so far, we were able to keep in close contact with the different units operating in our battalion area. But at this stage, I was more of a liability than an asset. And it was decided that I would pack it in. To be captured now meant internment or worse. So we decided on subterfuge to get me out of the country, and it was successful. Earlier on, my brother Dr. Ned got military permission from the Free State Army authorities to visit his fiancée in Wales through the good offices of our friend Captain Eddie Fleur de Fern IV, already referred to in an earlier incident. He still held on to that old permission when he returned. I cannot now recall the exact date on his permit, but it was an easy matter to forge a different date to suit me. Well, armed with my forged permit, medical bag, and letters of my brother, I started out on my journey to Cork in our little pony and trap with Jack Coffey, an employee who didn't give a moment's thought to the risk he was running for my sake. The checkpoints of the enemy were negotiated without incident, and we went through at least 100 before arriving in the city of Cork. On reaching the outskirts, I sent Jack home and proceeded into town. After a meal and a spruce up in a hotel, I telephoned the boat and booked a berth for the night. Now, the crucial moment of my escape had arrived. I presented myself at the entrance to the boat and was interrogated by military intelligence for quite a while. But my well-documented forged permit got me through. That last half hour in my berth in the cabin before the ship pulled out was an ordeal. But as the boat sailed down the river and the way out into the night, my thoughts were so mixed. Only God knew the future. What did it hold for me? A wonderful providence seemed to overshadow everything that had happened or had been happening to me for many years. The boat arrived into Fishguard early in the morning, and then on by train to Cardiff. After a wash and the shave, I called on a barber, and he was shocked at the condition of my haircut. Some days earlier, my hair had reached the condition of growing down my shoulders. Something very unusual in these days, but now so fashionable. A few of my comrades held me down and gave me a compulsory hair clip. He showed me my condition with a back mirror before servicing me, and it was dreadful. Had military intelligence in Cork asked me to remove my hat, it would have been fatal. It was the weak link in my disguise, and certainly I would not have passed as the professional that I pretended to be. My first call was on Ned's fiancée, and I was made very welcome and remained there about 10 days. During my stay, I attended a local mission given by a very famous preacher and theologian, Father Downey, who later became Archbishop of Liverpool. He reconciled me once again to my religious duties, he being outside the jurisdiction of the Irish hierarchy who had excommunicated us. This was a wonderful consolation to me at this time. I was next invited to Reading, to the home of Doctors Jim and George Murphy O'Connors of Cork, who were in partnership doing a wonderful medical practice, and they attended to my every want. I remained with them for some months until the ceasefire in Ireland. Representations were now made on my behalf to President Cosgrave, the leader of the provisional government, by my brother-in-law, Dr. Kelly, who was one of his personal friends. I was presented with and signed a form to say that I would not take up armed action against the then government. I returned to Ireland, and it was grand to hear the Irish brogue when I landed in Dunleary in that early morning. I remained with my sister Kathleen and her husband Dr. Kelly in Killiney, and attended lectures in Dublin every day, and got my degree in pharmacy in record time.